Questions from business and beyond about immigration reform after that stunning political upset in Virginia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Now, some policy ramifications of the surprise defeat of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in that Virginia primary. The man who had been tapped by many to be the next Speaker of the House lost to Dave Bratt, a Tea Party-supported economics professor with a comparatively tiny campaign war chest, but with key support from conservative talk radio. A defining issue in that election was immigration reform. And for more on that, let's go to Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Hiya, David.
Good morning.
So how different were their platforms on immigration?
Dave Bratt did a really good job, I think, of making this a defining issue. On the campaign trail, Bratt accused Leader Cantor of being soft on immigration. He brought up that Cantor has suggested that some immigrants who are in the U.S. already, immigrants who came here as kids, should be eligible to become permanent residents. I've been on the phone this morning, and analysts I've talked to said that what really crippled Cantor, though, is that as the campaign went on, he began to change his stance on immigration. It became more hardline.
Now, how is big business processing this?
Well, I think it's giving businesses a lot of pause. Companies have been lobbying for reform. They've created whole new groups to advocate for immigration reform. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg did this most notably. I asked Edward Alden about this. He's a senior fellow and an immigration expert with the Council on Foreign Relations.
They're still pushing very hard for action, but I think they have to be discouraged by this.
Alden told me he expects they're going to try to make this race into an outlier. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham won his primary yesterday, and he did that having embraced immigration reform. And Alden says big business is going to point to that.
Does this mean nobody's going to touch immigration for a while?
I think that's right. I mean, the odds weren't good before this primary yesterday, and the House leadership's got to be in total disarray after the primary. So there's that, and then there's the reality, Dave, and that is that this is a Congress that really hasn't had much luck advancing big legislation.
The focus globally is Brazil as it prepares for the World Cup starting tomorrow. It's a country with a dynamic economy, larger than Russia's, for instance. But it wasn't that long ago that the Brazilian economy was a disaster. Back in 1990, hyperinflation was heading toward 3,000%. That problem defied endless attempts to rebuild the currency, but was sorted out in 1994, just when Brazil was winning the World Cup here in the U.S. Since then, many things have gone right for Brazil's economy, as the BBC's Evan Davis reports from Sao Paulo.
Come to a food market in downtown Sao Paulo in the shadow of the municipal stadium. It's all here, the fruit, the exotic fruits, plenty of meat, fish, potatoes. And I'm here to meet a nutritionist, Professor Macia Nassif, to tell me how the diets of Brazilians have changed over the last couple of decades.
There's still malnourished people in Brazil, but the numbers have declined a lot. Today we have more of a problem with overweight and obese people, especially in the southern states of Brazil.
Brazil, of course, is the B of the BRICS. It's been a reasonably well-growing economy in the last few years, underpinning some of the improvements in living standards. But I have come out of São Paulo now to a farm. Agriculture has been a star sector in Brazil's economy. I'm going down what seems like an interminable dust track to meet Francisco, who's going to tell me how farming has been doing in Brazil.
A produtividade nos últimos 20 anos, eu acredito que tenha mais que dobrado.
I think production of grains and fruits per acre has more than doubled in the last 20 years, and this is largely because of technology.
Mesmo a produção aumentou muito em função de tecnologia. Exemplo, nós temos uma outra propriedade.
For example, we have another farm in the interior, in Araraquara. 20 years ago, we produced 100 or 120 bags of corn per acre. Today, we are producing 400.
As I walk past Francisco's guava trees, many, many of them, it's interesting to reflect that agriculture, always such a big part of Brazil's economy, is now down to only about 5% of national income. More productive, but a smaller share of the total pie.
The BBC's Evan Davis reporting from Sao Paulo. Marketplace Morning Report is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. A gift from you, yes, you if you can, in any amount, helps the Marketplace crew keep telling the money stories behind the news of the day. Help us end the budget year in a strong position by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th, if you could. Bad weather this morning scrubbed today's planned launch by NASA of what's playfully being called a flying saucer. It sure looks like one, but think of it more like landing gear for Mars. NASA will try again in 3 days. Marketplace's Sabri Benishur reports.
NASA wants to put big things on Mars.
We want to put rockets on Mars. We someday want to put people on Mars with habitats.
That's Mark Adler, project manager with NASA. To put big things on Mars, you need to land big things on Mars. Big things moving at 4 times the speed of sound. Using rockets to break your fall would require insane amounts of fuel. So what you need is
a supersonic inflatable aerodynamic decelerator.
That's NASA speak for a giant airbag to slow you down to a mere 2 times the speed of sound.
We are also testing a large 100-foot supersonic parachute.
Which brings us to the flying saucer. The parachute and the airbag are all inside a flying saucer-shaped payload. This program costs $200 million. Michael Lopez Alegria is president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation.
You know, landing on the Mars so far doesn't seem to be very profitable.
Which is one reason NASA can't privatize this sort of thing, like it has cargo flights to the space station. Lopez Alegria says governments will have to open the frontier to Mars, which in this case means not crashing into Mars at 3,000 miles per hour. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishur for Marketplace.
And the big thing in photography right now are little cameras you can attach to bicycle and ski helmets to capture the action in high def. This morning, there's word a dominant maker of these things, GoPro, has filed for a public offering of stock, one that could raise $427 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.